Hey, good morning, everybody. My name's Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here at Countryside Covenant Church. Thanks for being here today. Now, I could be pretty bold, and I don't know if John's going to go with this, but the sermon was really a charge to the confirmands, but they all left during the second service. They already had their charge in the first service, so really it's a sermon for them. But since they left, I could just say that's it, and we could just go right into communion, and that could be one of my shortest sermons ever. But we'd have to get John's approval for that. All right, look, the confirmands went. All right, so I'm gonna talk for a little bit, but it will be a shorter sermon today. So you're welcome. The confirmands put in a ton of work for 2 years. Right, they put in 30 hours of service. They probably took 30 sermon notes or more, where they had to be detailed about what the main points were, what was the scripture passage, and those kinds of things. And they worked diligently. They sacrificed Sunday mornings to consistently show up to confirmation class. And I know at times for them, it was kind of a drag. And this isn't a dig on any of the teachers, because they could have had the most amazing, prophetic, amazing teachers ever. And, you know, and they did. And it's still difficult to sometimes get up early in the morning to attend class. And so I know sometimes they would have preferred maybe not to be there, but they stuck it out. They continued to press through and persevere. And they have completed confirmation. And like I told them in the first service, you never have to go through confirmation again. And they were like, yes. So, I did tell them that for me in confirmation, it was a little difficult. In that my confirmation class, it was only about maybe 7 or 8 months long. But after church service, then there was a two-hour break, and then I had to go back to church on a Sunday afternoon. Now, as a teenage boy, that was kind of irritating to me, because I'd much rather have been outside playing or doing anything other than going back to church. And some thought, hey, you know, 8 or 9 months, that's not a lot of time. That's not fair. Well, I told the confirmands of my experience at my last church, and maybe some of you who went through confirmation, this was your experience too. But the senior pastor on Confirmation Sunday, he took the microphone, and again, I'm just using this as a prop, and he said, hey, welcome our confirmands, let's come up to the platform. And so there was like 9 or 10 of them, and then he left the podium, and he sat down in the front row, and he sat down, and he looked at all of them, and verbatim, they had to repeat every single building block that they had to memorize. So he'd say, who is Jesus Christ? Full definition. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is sanctification? What is sin? What is the chief ends of man? And they had to go through for 15 minutes. They just kept passing the microphone to the next kid. And you're like, oh man, don't mess up. It was pretty intense. So I told them, look, at least you didn't have to do that this Sunday. You just had to stand up here and confirm your faith if, in fact, that was true for you. But I hope that at some point during their class, something stuck with them. And perhaps for some of you who went through confirmation, maybe it was a long time ago, but maybe you can remember one thing that stuck out to you during confirmation. For me, it was the experience of having to attend a different Christian worship service than I was accustomed to. So I went to Catholic Mass as a teenage boy, kind of by myself. And it was kind of hard to follow. Anybody who's from Catholic Church, you know that there's like multiple books to choose from, and you're like, all right, which one are we in? The Daily Missal? What is this? Are they going to blow something up? I don't understand. And then it was like trying to follow the liturgy of everything, and that was the first time that I had experienced in church the Holy Kiss. Because the spouses would turn to each other during the service and they would little, you know, peck on the cheek or on the lips. And I was like, yeah, you can't kiss in church. you know, that's illegal or something, you know, I didn't know. So I've fumbled through the liturgy, and if I go back to Mass, I can usually bat about 600 during the Mass. That was a joke. All right. Now, the reason why our students went through confirmation is not just because their parents made them. It's not just because their parents made them. It's important because parents know that it is important to continue to instill the truth of God in their students. It's important to understand the truth of God, the truth of His church, how God operates and how God has operated throughout history, how He's worked through people and different circumstances and cultures, and we want our students to learn more about this. And so Pastor John alluded to this particular scripture passage, and this is, again, a big reason why we do confirmation, referring to the Shema, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and starting in verse 4, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and on your end, with all your strength. And these commandments I give to you today shall be on your heart." What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to impress them on your children. You're supposed to talk about them when you sit at home, when you lie down at night, when you get up in the morning, when you walk along the roads. You're supposed to tie them as reminders around your wrists and on your foreheads, and put reminders on your gates and on your door frames. These are constantly reminding you of God and His promises for them and for us. And as parents, it's our job to continue to impress that truth into our students' lives. And we come to church and we go to Christian formation classes, also known as Sunday school, in other churches, and we impress the truth into our students. And so we know that confirmation is not enough, sadly. Confirmation is not enough. Confirmation is simply a marker, a rite of passage to where the students, if they haven't already, is to confirm in front of the congregation their faith in Christ. And we celebrate with them. That's why we're clapping. We're excited. They have confirmed their faith in front of our congregation. They've had to memorize Scripture. They've had to go through these lesson plans. And the reason why we have them memorize God's Word, why we have them go through these classes, is so when they leave our homes, they will know the truth, and they will not be persuaded by outside influences that are getting them to try to believe something else that is not true. You've probably seen this in your social media or on the news or whatever. Someone is always trying to persuade you. And what I will say is, don't be persuaded by easy answers. And to the confirmands, to not be persuaded by easy answers. Because if you are persuaded by an easy answer now, early in your faith, you will be easily swayed later on when you are older. So continue to struggle with your faith. Continue to ask difficult questions. Continue to wrestle with the things of God, the things in the Bible, because it is important to own your faith. And statistically, we know and we hear, and this is the statistic, is that if you have not had a genuine encounter with God, to where God is real in your life and you have experienced Him in a very deep and meaningful way before you graduate high school, statistically, you're most likely to walk away from your faith after graduating high school, or when you leave your home. That's just the statistic. And I don't want you to be that statistic. I don't want anybody here to be that statistic. But for all of the confirmands and for all of you here today, I want you to know that regardless of whatever happens in your life, no matter how far you might stray away from God, no matter how many bad decisions you make and you feel like there is no hope for you because you are too far gone from God, you can always return to God. That God's love for you is still so strong, and God is still searching after you and wanting to have that relationship back with you. That will never change. So regardless, however far you might stray, wherever you are right now in your faith, you can still rekindle that intimate relationship with God, and He wants to have that with you forever. For the parents of our confirmands, and for everybody else that is here who has kids or who want to have kids or who are grandparents, and me as a father of a confirmand and two other kids who have completed confirmation, I will say that our kids are watching us. Our kids are watching us not only in what we say and what we do, but what we watch, what we listen to, what we subject ourselves to. And they will know intuitively, they will know what was so important in my family's life that we didn't go to church today. They will know what was more important in a priority for our family that we decided that church was less important today. And how we spend our time, how we invest our time, where we spend our money, our kids are paying attention and they will know. So we have to continue being good examples to our students at home and as grandparents as well, because they're watching. And I'm grateful that my parents instilled some of those spiritual disciplines in me as well, even though I didn't really want to do it when I was a kid. In a few moments, we're going to come to the table and we're going to share in Holy Communion, the sacrament of communion. And the reason why our kids take off during the sermon portion is not just because they're going to be distraction, or you know, might be distracting to the parents or other people. It's a time for them to learn and to grow in a way that their brains work, right? They can understand and learn more about God at a learning development phase, to where they'll understand a little bit better. But we always make sure that they come back and they return for communion. Why? Because it's important that they participate and they view and they witness the sacraments. They can ask questions of, hey, mom, dad, how come I don't get to take communion yet? Or how come this kid that's younger than me takes communion, but I don't take communion? And you get to discuss these things with your kids, but they also see the importance of why we come forward to the table and we experience God's grace in a very physical and very visible way. That's the end of the sermon. Told you it was going to be a little bit shorter. Yeah. So I'm going to invite John up. In our services here at Countryside, we come forward to receive communion because God invites us to this table. We come not because we're worthy, but because God is worthy. We come forward as a physical participation to His table. And in our church, you don't have to be a member to take communion. Just confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And to come forward, and if you are not able to come forward, our servers can come and serve you in your seat. These are gluten-free, but does contain egg. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite those who are serving to come forward. So, on the night in which our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He broke it, He gave thanks. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And after the disciples ate supper, Jesus took the cup and He poured it out and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come."
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we're grateful to be in your presence today. We're grateful and thankful that you have revealed yourself in a very real way to us. God, through this sacrament, we recognize that your grace is present. And so we humbly come before this table to honor and recognize not just what you have done in our lives, but recognizing who you are, the creator of this world, and all that's in it. So I humbly ask a blessing over this common bread and this common juice, that it may strengthen us both physically and spiritually, that it may give us the ability and continue to press us along in our life as we proclaim your good news to a world who so desperately needs it. Continue to strengthen us and our faith each and every day. We love you and we praise you. Amen.